Do you hear about the big news this week? That's an opening question just to kind of get you thinking. Thing is, there's so many events nowadays. And I could have been talking about the earthquake. You know, 290 plus, 300 people dead there. Could have been talking about Andy Brown. That place was obliterated. They went on a firefight for the next 5 hours. And they were preserved. How about the close call in Syria where the Americans warded off the Syrian, rushing back Syrian plane? How about the troops amassing on the border of Ukraine, the Russian troops amassing on the borders there? The face-off of the UK, UN troops and the other countries with the Russian troops?
Turkey's on the move.
Turkey's on the move, and they're not only that, but they're we got some backed Kurds. We talked about the Kurds, maybe the House of Israel, and they're at odds with our U.S.-backed troops there in Turkey. They're on the move. Anything else? How about North Korea threatening to first strike a nuke? They're going to send a nuke over. First strike, they're threatening that. The virus, yeah. Iran chasing our military ship there, you know, it's charging us. You know, if they had a missile on there, we'd have been hard pressed to shoot it down 300 feet is tough to shoot somebody down. ISIS atrocities. You know, maybe I'm talking about ISIS atrocities. Maybe I'm talking about the Lutherans. So, you know, they signed a thing this week. Doesn't make the headlines harder. You probably didn't even hear about it. The Lutherans, in fact, the earthquake, I looked for it last night, 3 days ago. You have 290 at least dead. And I couldn't find it in Yahoo. I couldn't find it in MSNBC. That's when I watched it. No, Fox News. Couldn't find it. These things are coming at us so fast. You know, life has changed. That's the new norm. So every single week we're going to have something big. And or many big things, right? The Lutherans declaration on the way, if you want to look it up. It says they signed the document saying there is no longer church dividing issues with the Catholic Church. No longer. So these unity things that we've been talking about, they get a back page. And so, you know, it's just coming at us so fast. Life has changed for us. But I just thought I'd bring that up because I was just flooded with different things. But the message is today, I'm not done with the last message I gave, I found out this week. So we had 4 weeks ago, we had the Missouri reunion, and the message was, we're not ready for the work that we're going to be given. And that was a universal, that people over the last few years here have had many dreams, but they talked about six dreams in particular, five visitations, on three different continents. And the message was always the same. We have a large work to do, and we're not ready. And so the 3 weeks ago, I gave that sermon, Made Yourself Ready, and I tried to my point of view on that, on why we're not ready and why it's so important. And then 2 weeks ago, and I don't know what that shut down for, 2 weeks ago, I was given something that told me we're not done with that subject. Last 2 weeks ago, Sunday. And then we'll talk more about that. And then last week, our brother Chris gave us When Jesus Was Here, All Wonder and Joy. And see, if you leave these things on my computer, I get your photos and I get your PowerPoint. So I have that. That's Chris's. So, what we're going to talk about is how does Jesus speak to us? And I'm going to incorporate that into that theme. Overall reason why members of the true church are to be ready. And here's a good example why. Then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. Quite clear that we're called Gentiles here. Wherefore, they shall come to the knowledge of the Redeemer and the very points of his doctrine, and they may know how to come to him to be saved. You know, a lot of the house of Israel doesn't even, you know, they do not believe in Christ. 90% probably, 99%, they're not Christians. And some of them are Muslims, frankly, and some of them are Judaism. But they're going to come, and they're going to learn the true points of this doctrine. That's why the gospel is so important to us. It explains exactly the path you take, and then you get to have a chance. You know, it's not a one-time commitment. It's not this little prayer you say in front of your TV probably a dozen times in your life if you're of that persuasion. It's a lifetime changing event through baptism, laying on the hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost, repenting and changing your life and having faith in Jesus Christ. And then enduring in that gospel and continue to work in that gospel. That's the gospel of Christ. And they're going to know that, and they're going to come unto Christ to be saved. And I bring up that picture there. That's a picture of the day of Pentecost, if you will. And it shows the great conversion on that day, at the day of Pentecost. 3,000 souls in one day. In what way do we as a church need to be ready? And this is kind of a refresher, but this is a new slide, if you will. I think this is an excellent example. Do you recognize the story here? And the angel spake to Philip, saying, "Arise and go towards the south. The way goeth down from Jerusalem into Gaza, which is in the desert." Gaza is located on what today is Egypt, right on the edge there is the Gaza Strip. And Gaza is the city, the biggest city closest to the border, if you will. And that's where he was to go. And I bring this up. This slide is it shows the condition of the church at the time the first coming. And remember that last week our brother Chris told us history repeats, and what was before will come again. And this is the condition of Philip, that he was in such a tune that the Spirit told him to go into Gaza. This is an angel, right? An angel came and told him to go into Gaza. So he started on his way, and then the Spirit said unto Philip, "Go near and join thyself to the chariot." So first of all, he was to go out to the city Gaza, and then he got a little closer, and it was to tell him to go meet up at Gaza to this chariot. This guy was studying. So again, Philip was in tune with this Holy Spirit. First had an angel, then he had the Holy Spirit tell him exactly, go meet up. Then Philip opened his mouth and began, I cut that off. So I don't know why I cut that off there, but probably space. But anyway, he opened up his mouth and started explaining the scriptures. The guy wondered, "I don't understand this part of scripture." So now we have another thing introduced here. He had to know the scriptures. He took right off where that guy was reading, and he continued on and talked about Jesus Christ. And when they were come up out of the same scripture, and preached unto him Jesus by water, and the Spirit caught him away, and took him over to another city that happens to be about 8 miles away. So we have this full arsenal, if you will, of Philip. He not only has visitations by angels, he not only is in tune that he can hear the Spirit But he's also studied, so when the guy has a question, he can go right to it. You know, Holy Spirit is to tell us and remind us of all the things. It can't remind us if we've never read the thing. It can't remind us. So we have to have the full arsenal, and that's what they had back then in the first coming. They had the full arsenal. They were in tune. And Philip did a lot, and the Holy Spirit did a lot of converting. So that's why we have to be ready as a church. Most important reason. In what way do we need as a church to be ready? Here's another one. And Jacob, this is in Jacob. 3 Jacob 1:40. And it came to pass that the servants did go and labor with their mights. And the Lord of the vineyard labored with them also. And they did obey the commandments of the Lord in all things. And they began to be natural fruit again in the vineyard. And the natural branches began to grow and thrive exceedingly. So we're not there yet, are we? Because the natural fruit is the house of Israel. We have some branches starting down south of the border. We have Honduras. We have the Yucatan. And all told, probably about 30 churches and missions. But it's only small at this point. And the wild branches began to be plucked off. That's God's doing. And to be cast away. And they did come to the root, and the top were equal according to the strength thereof. So that's what God's going to start doing. We're going to see a lot more of this last day stuff. A lot of it. And the most wicked nations are going to be peeled off, if you will. And the most perverse nations and people are going to be rooted out to make way for the gospel. But the Lord's going to handle that. So you're going to hear a lot more of this stuff that we've been hearing about just in one week. But the reason I brought this one up in particular is it shows when this thing goes out, we have to be in total communication with God. We have to be listening to that voice of His. And finally, last week, Chris's message when Jesus was here, and it was not a harsh voice. He gave this scripture. Neither was it a loud voice. Nevertheless, and notwithstanding it being a small voice, and it did pierce them that they did hear to the center, insomuch that there was no part of their frame that they did not cause to quake. Yea, it did pierce them to their very soul, and it caused their heart to burn. And in Kings, if you want to look it up, 1 Kings 19:12, Elijah was complaining, and you know he didn't hear the Lord in all these tumults, in all this chaos that's around. But when he got away from that, he got away from the world, and he heard that still small voice. And that's how the Lord talks to them. How does he talk to you? How does he talk to us? What are the ways? Dreams? Still small voice, dreams? Absolutely. How else? Songs? Rebuke? How do you hear his voice? And that still small voice with a little sternness. This will give us some ideas on the way God talks to us. And I think most of us hear that still small voice. You can't be in the priesthood and not hear that still small voice. Because nobody wants to be up here alone. And if you go to a conference, you can see the message is consistent throughout, you know, that he spoke to all those ministers. So it's a wake-up call that, you know, you better be praying when you're in a ministry for what message is. Okay, the 12th chapter, the first verse, 1 Corinthians, it says, "Now concerning the spiritual gifts, brethren, I would not have you ignorant." He says that a lot. "Ye know that the Gentiles, that ye were Gentiles, carried away unto dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you understanding that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God as calls Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is Lord, but by the Holy Spirit. Now, the diversity of gifts, but the same Spirit. I have a hard enough time reading. Without your help, Daniel.
You come up to see Grandpa.
That's it. Yes, I know you want to get a better view.
And there are differences in administration, but the same Lord. And there are diversities in operations, but the same God, which worketh all in all. But the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit well. And I want to draw the attention to that, and I'll read it once more. We're going to come back to it. The manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. With all. Okay. For to one is given the spirit of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, another prophecy, and to another divers tongues, to another interpretation of tongues. All these worketh in one and the same self Spirit, dividing every man severally, as he will. For as a body is one and hath many members, the members of that body are many, are one body, and also is Christ. So we've all heard this many times. We're all given different gifts. We're all given different abilities. We're all given different administrations, callings. But it's one body, and we do our different things. All right? So, does that give us any other ideas of how God talks to us? Do we learn anything there? How about prophecy? How about prophecy there? How about gift of tongues? I would say that the criteria on the gift of tongues, just because it's, you know, it's got a bad rep, if you will, out there, it is not meant for the believers. It's meant for the unbelievers. It's a gift that I think we'll use in the future. It has the ability to speak in a different language and hear in a different language when they're all speaking different languages. You understand. And that is the true purpose of it. In the 14th chapter, you'll find it's not for believers. You shouldn't see much of that in the church environment because we're all believers, and we don't. But it is for the believers, and it will always have an interpretation. Somebody in the crowd will have the interpretation for that tongue. And if they don't, that individual that gave it is to sit down. So that's just a criteria. So tongues, a wonderful gift, but it will serve its purpose in the future. Dreams, we've already come. Visitation of angels, that's a gift. These are not all listed there, are they? Prophecy, what's the definition? A discourse emanating from divine inspiration declaring the purpose of God. This is out of Strong's, by the way. Whether by reproving or admonishing the wicked, comforting the afflicted, or revealing hidden things, especially for telling the future events. So that's prophecy. And I have a hard time getting the differences. So if I have a problem, I'm thinking somebody else does too. But then there's revelations. You know, in the prophecy, let me just go back there. Sometimes it's God's own voice coming through a prophet or an individual, which means he's a prophet when he's speaking. It's the exact words. Sometimes it doesn't have to be, and it's still called prophecy. That's what that definition says. You know, if you're told to do something, it may not be the exact words you're given. All right, that would be still prophecy. Revelation, a discourse of truth and instructions concerning the things before unknown. And a good way to understand what a revelation is John's revelation. He was seeing all these visions, and he was given this. He wasn't told what to say necessarily, but he was given this vision about what to write. And that's a revelation. Disclosing the truth. So that's another way God speaks to us. I know a brother in the church that he's given visions, and he relates that vision. And it tells a story, and that's how it works. tongues, a language or dialect used by a particular people distinct from another nation. So that's just an unknown tongue somebody might speak, and the interpretation will be there if it happens. Day of Pentecost, I don't know if I have anything on the Day of Pentecost. Yes, I do. That's a good example. So what do we know about the Day of Pentecost, those 3,000 people? What do we know? How were those people converted? Peter gave a great sermon, and at the end of it, they all lined up and say, "Give it. We want that thing." That how it worked? How'd it work? Let me read one verse here right now. And it came to pass that in the last days, they heard, all these people heard it in their own language, the message. They had three or four times a year, I can't remember which it is right now, but the Jews had to go up and to the temple, right, and present their males. And this happened to be one of them. And they all heard this message given in their own language. And they asked what it was, and it says, "And it came to pass in the last days, saith God," they're quoting Joel, "I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions." That's another way. He speaks us today. "And your old men shall dream dreams." And I think in Joel, if you want to read that, as 23 and 28, it talks about that very thing. It says, this is what it is, And he's telling us, we'll have visions, we'll have prophecy, and your old men shall dream dreams. Not just the old men, and these cross over. And in Joel it says the former rain will be moderately, and the latter rains will come more heavily, if you will. All right, and I think that's talking. It's talking about. It goes right into this prophecy. So I think it's talking about spiritual, not only the growth in Israel, but it's talking spiritual there. And I think, and it says in the first month that's when the gospel restored in the first month. And certainly he's pouring out the Spirit of God again upon the earth. And you might think, well, didn't he always do that? And the answer is no. They went 1,000 years without any type of gifts. Hard to believe. 1,000 years. They thought these things were craziness. Now it's accepted. Okay. On that dream... I wanted to tell you that I've had six spiritual dreams in my life. And I've shared most of my gifts, but let me share some of those. When I was a young boy, the devil was chasing me, if you will. And I ran downstairs and told my mother. And I says, the devil's after me. And she says, she said the room was, she told me late in life, that the room was so cold. And she says, and I was told that only I had the ability to call upon the Lord to rebuke that. Wisdom. The next time I was told, I was chastised the next time I was given a dream. And I told, and I was shown my life. And I was told that I wasn't going to make it. Unless I changed. Third dream I received, it was an answer to prayer. I asked what was behind a certain thing, and I was shown. Fourth dream I received about 10 years ago, and it was a dream for my calling. It was a confirmation. It wasn't to call me, but it was a confirmation that I would be called. That always has to come through somebody. But God talks through somebody. But I was told that I would be called, and not only that, but the Betsy shared in that dream. She was awakened when I was talking. And my daughter Amanda, sleeping, was aware of that. And she spoke up in her dream. So that was the fourth time. The fifth time, I was shown a straight narrow path, and it was a straight narrow path, all right, but it went over the ridges of the mountain. And it showed the difficulty that it would be in our walk in life. It's a straight and narrow path, but it's rugged. And it's a difficult life to hold on to the gospel. And that was not only for me, but for others. And I shared that. Sixth dream was a couple Sundays ago, and I seen two people debating. It was one sided, and the other one was not a member, but they were a Christian, and the other was a member of our church, and they were chastising him, and they were telling. They were telling, what is that you believe a man has to be called God? They go to school for that. What is it that you believe? And it was not, it's not my normal, I don't appreciate it in somebody else's conversation. That's the first thing, but that's exactly what I did. And there was a figure chasing. And I got right in their face. And normally, you know, if somebody brings that up to me, I've got a slew of scriptures I can go right to. And man, I go to Hebrews 5:4, and no man take this honor upon himself, but he's called to God. And then I go to Acts 20, where it says the Holy Ghost had made you overseers. And then I go to Acts 13, where Paul and Barnabas were called through a prophet by the Holy Ghost. You know, I'll go right to those scriptures, and then I'll tell them the early history records that this was in the church. That's the way it's supposed to be done, and that's what Jesus Christ accepts. Not that a man goes to college and does it. You know, that's new, and it's not of God. So that's my normal process, but I didn't do that. In my dream, I got right in their face, and I said, so it wasn't me. And I says, unless you have these spiritual gifts, you can't go to heaven. I thought that was, wow, is that true? And then I slumbered the rest of the night. Two scriptures came to me. Romans 8. 9 says this, but ye are not of the flesh, but of the Spirit, if it so be the Spirit of God dwell within you. And if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If we don't have that at the last day, when we die, we don't have that Spirit, where do we go? It says, Alma 16 tells us the devil makes us his. The Spirit of God, whatever comforter we had at that time, the Spirit of God to tell us good from evil, all that Spirit withdraws from us, and the devil signs us, seals us his, and he takes us to his home. The other scripture I was given, let's go to Alma 3:23. It says, according to his faith, there was a mighty change wrought in his heart. And Alma's talking about his father and that mighty change that took place in his heart. Behold, I say unto you, this is all true. And behold, he preached the word unto your fathers. And a mighty change also was wrought upon their hearts. And they humbled themselves and put their trust in the true and living God. Alma here is the Alma Younger, and he's preaching to the church. Just a few years, 3 or 4 years ago, he just baptized. They baptized 3,500 into the church. They had a revival, if you will. They got back on track. And now they started to backslide the church. And he's talking about in the past, their fathers came to Jesus Christ and there was a mighty change that took place in their heart. And behold, they were faithful until the end, therefore they are saved. We know that's the gospel of Christ. If we're faithful, coming faith, repentance, baptism, laying on the hand for the gift of the Holy Spirit. And then we endure in faith, hope, and charity. He says the scriptures are clear that we'll live forever in the company of Jesus Christ. So he knows they're saved. 27, and now behold, I ask you, brethren, of the church, have you been spiritually born of God? Have you received the image of his countenance? Have ye experienced a mighty change in your heart? Do you exercise faith in that redemption of him that created you? Do you look forward with an eye of faith? View from this whole mortal body, raised to immortality, this corruption into incorruption, to stand before God, to be judged according to deeds, that's our works, which ye have been done in this mortal body. And he repeats the gospel message. You know, that's the endurance of faith, faithfulness, and the endurance of hope there, looking forward, and it keeps us on point. But I want to talk about that spiritual change. Have you been born of God? Born again is another way to put that. You should have that spirit within you, and if you don't have that spirit in you at the last day, you're not going to make it. Those are the scriptures. Let me explain this other verse here. It explains what happened to those people, that mighty change. And I just added this because it explains the scriptures that I was just given. 938, Hosea. And that's on page 259. 45, bottom of the page. And Alma, after he said these words, both Alma and Helaman was buried in the water. I'm sorry, 38 we're going to start. And they came to pass, they said unto them, behold, here are the waters of Mormon. For thus they are called, the waters of Mormon. We think that's in Guatemala. You know, it's a beautiful lake. It was formed by volcanoes. I went diving down there. And you go down 100 feet and you see the cities as they were. It was flooded, probably at the time of Christ. But these cities are flooded. There's three of them down there. And anyway, waters of Mormon. And now, as ye are desirous to come into the fold of God, to be called his people, and willing to bear one another's burdens, that they may be light. So this is what the people, they're willing to do this. Yea, ye are willing to mourn with those that mourn. Ye are comfort and stand in need to comfort those that stand in need of comfort, and to stand witness of God at all times. That's our job, isn't it? To witness. That's what they agreed to do before I baptized them. In all things, in all places that ye may be in, even until death. We're going to witness of Jesus Christ until our death. That we may be redeemed of God and be numbered among those of the first resurrection and those that have eternal life. First resurrection is always those saved ones. Second resurrections don't make it. And now I say unto you, if this be the desires of your hearts, and you have against, what have you against being baptized in the name of Christ? As a witness before him and have entered into a covenant, that ye may serve him and keep his commandments, that he may pour his spirit more abundantly in you. So we all have that, you know, as we're coming into Christ, we all have that prompting. It leads us. But to have that spirit more abundantly as an abiding comforter, we have to have that baptism. And that's what he's saying here. And that's when the Spirit of God was poured out. That's what he's talking about. I want to point that out to you. Because that change of life comes by God within us. That abundant Spirit poured out among us. And now when the people had heard these words, they clapped their hands with joy and exclaimed, "This is our desire of our heart." And now it came to pass that Alma took Helaman, being the first, be one of the first, and went and stood in the water and cried, saying, "O Lord, pour out thy Spirit upon thy servant, that he may do a work of holiness of his heart." And when he had said this word, the Spirit of the Lord was upon him, and he says, "Helaman, I baptize him, have an authority from the Almighty God." We're not allowed to baptize without that authority. "As a testimony that you have entered into a covenant to serve him until the end, they are dead. As this mortal body, and may the Spirit of the Lord be poured upon you, that he may grant you eternal life through the redemption of Christ, which he had prepared from the foundation of the world." And after Alma had said these words, both Alma and Helaman were buried, that's what baptism means, immersion, in the water, and they arose and came forth rejoicing, being filled with the Spirit. That's when it takes place, that more abundant Spirit. That explains that mighty change when it took place. Philippians says this. It says, "Work out your own salvation." So it's a work. It's a constant work for us. The Spirit's not going to take over and make us do things. We have always that freedom of choice. "With fear and trembling, for it is God that works within you both to will and to do of his good pleasure." So he's going to give us suggestions. He's going to be telling us things. But we always have that ability to say no. Or we can say yes and listen and heed that spiritual warning. Another scripture to support this, I thought about later, of course, building this sermon. "Born of God, do you not remember that I said unto you that after you have received the Holy Ghost?" So when is that? After you receive the Holy Ghost, when does that take place? After baptism. That's the gift of the Holy Ghost. Like I say, they have a portion of that Spirit given to us at some puberty, at least, to know good from evil. We have the Lord, the Spirit of God prompting us and pulling us in. But the gift of the Holy Ghost, that is given after baptism. "Ye could speak with the tongues of angels. And now, how could ye speak with the tongues of angels, save or by the Holy Ghost? Angels speak by the power of the Holy Ghost. Wherefore, they speak the powers of Christ." The words of Christ. So that is the time, that is the procedure, and that's when we have those gifts given to us. It doesn't stop there. We still continue to get gifts as we need them. If we enter a certain point of ministry, we have different gifts that we have to have. And so these things are given to us, but the point that we can speak with the tongues of angels after that time. And that's when he seals us his, at the time of the baptism. That Holy Ghost seals us, Christ's children. Ephesians 4, 7 through 8 and 11. "But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ." Okay? Every one of us is given. And is that talking about the world? The gift of Christ? It's talking about the church. It's talking about the church. "Wherefore he saith that he ascended up on high and led captivity captive, and gave the gifts unto men." So that's when he did it. He gave the Holy Spirit unto men that they could have that gift of the Holy Ghost. That's when it came down, didn't it? You know, they couldn't have the comforter in Jerusalem until after he went up. Only one comforter around at one time. But on the day of Pentecost, wasn't Peter's great sermon? It was the day of Pentecost. They were converted by that. You know, they've seen everybody hearing everybody in their own language, no matter where they're from, they heard the message. Not only that, I hope I have another verse here. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some, you know, these are the gifts and callings from God, but it is after our baptism this takes place. 1 Corinthians 12:7, but the manifestations of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. We've covered that, but I wanted to come back to that. So it's given to every one of us. If we don't have that Spirit with God within, it means we didn't do the right thing. We didn't take that baptism. We entered into it without a true cause. But as long as we don't have any hypocrisies, as it says on 161, as long as we do that, we have the Spirit of God. And we're going to have His gifts, every one of us, given to every man to profit every one of us, to profit with all. So the dream was true. It is God's power that brings forth the spiritual fruit. I have planted, Apollos watereth, but God gave the increase. So there is neither is he that planteth anything, and neither that he that watereth anything, but God giveth the increase. That word increase means growth. You know, the gifts I have, the knowledge on myself, and the things that I do are nothing. It's not going to help you. It has to be, the Holy Spirit has to be there to convey that. And that's a hard lesson for me. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. That's what God changes within, to mold us into His image. All right, God does that from within. I have no part in that. None of us do. All we can do is bring you the Word, and the God will mold you within. You know, it serves purpose, but it doesn't much on this conversion that we have in front of us. When they all heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and Peter said unto the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what should we do? You know, what brought those people into conversion? They seen these mighty miracles, and the people were pricked in their heart. Before this, they probably had 500 members, 3.5 years of Christ's ministry, and they had probably 500 members. After this time, one day, 3,000. What is the difference? What's the difference? That's what we need today. It has to be the Holy Spirit. It has to work. And, you know, I know that, but I really don't know that. You know, it's the Holy Spirit worked within, you know, the difference is, let me explain it in case you didn't get it, that the Holy Spirit, instead of working from without, was now working and touched them individually. They were pricked in their heart. And that's what was carried away. You know, when that person that was talking to that, and I gave him this, or the Lord gave him that finger in the face, told him he couldn't enter to heaven, they immediately repented. You know, it pricked him in their heart. You know, that was the Lord. You know, I would have gave him all these verses. I'd have been real happy, you know, I'd have repeated them all. Very powerful, but nothing what the Lord can do. He knows exactly what they need. They repented immediately. That's what the Lord can do. Book of Mormon. Just got 3 more slides. I'm saying, wow, it's 20 after... It's not. 4:66 is this. And again I speak unto you who deny the revelations of God and say they are done away. They did that for 1,000 years. Says there's no more revelations from God. And say unto they are done away, and there are no revelations, nor prophecies, nor gifts, nor healings, nor speaking with tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Behold, I say unto you, He that denieth these things knoweth not the gospel of Christ. Yea, he has not read the scriptures. If so, he does not understand them. I just related the gospel of Christ, how we're to repent, change our life, have faith in God, be baptized, lay on the hands, and then continue in faith, hope, and charity. How does this say, how does this compare? That's part of the gospel, we're told right here. Revelations, prophecies, gifts. Well, if you think about it, what is the purpose of laying on the hands for the gift of the Holy Ghost? I mean, it's to give us those gifts that we can use in the church. That's part of the gospel. And if we don't know that, it says we don't know the scriptures. That gift, those gifts are what to convert, to strengthen each and every brother here, no matter what your role is. How does the work of God talk to us? What are the lessons of Philip, the sons of Mosiah, and I would say the day of Pentecost also? What's the message there? Alma 12, and these are another message here. For these are talking about the sons of Mosiah here. And they were struck down. You might remember the story. They were struck down. They were fighting against the church, and God was merciful. And he said the angel came and told them, "Hey, I don't know if you're going to make it or not, boys. But this I know: you're not going to hassle the church. You're not going to prosecute the church anymore. That's going to happen for sure." And he said unto them, "For they were men of sound understanding, and they had searched the scriptures diligently." These are these boys that converted. They searched the scriptures diligently, that they might talk and know the word of God. But this is not all. They had given themselves much prayer and fasting. Therefore, as a result, they had the spirit of prophecy, the spirit of revelation. And when they taught with the power and authority, even as the power and authority from God. They had the full package, just like Philip. They knew the scriptures, they knew the word of God. And they turned to God for the gifts that he was willing to give her, you know, give them. And that's how this gospel is going to be forward. You know, it's not that, you know, we can go out there without studying, but we have to first turn to God and have that power and authority from him. Matthew 10:19. This is talking about also. This is talking about our day. But when they deliver you up, talking about this present day, take no thought of how or what ye shall speak. For it be given you the same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. So what's the idea? What's the message that I gathered from this? First of all, we have to be in a condition. You know, we have to be conditioned that we can hear that Spirit and be used in whatever manner it is. We also have to trust it. You know, we can't trust and rely upon. You know, I've been studying the Word of God for 40 years pretty hard. And I don't know if I've converted anybody. I can't do it alone, you know. And I'm coming to that realization that we have to first look to God and see if he has anything for him. And then there's nothing wrong with going with our learning and our wisdom that we've got from the scriptures. You know, they did that all the time in the scriptures. That's what they did. They used the scriptures to combat something. But I think this real conversion, just like the first coming, history repeats itself, as our brother said last week. It's going to come by, you know, these things. People are going to get their heart is going to get pricked. And we can be that instrument if we'll let the Spirit, if we're in a condition and we let that Spirit first. You know, so before ever we open our mouth in something and give our own opinion, let us ask and see if the Lord might have something for us. And that's what I took away from that dream. It's going to happen. You know, I'm glad to be a part of it. But, you know, I have to start using God's wisdom. and not just my own. Thanks for your time. Mary?